racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
It's time again for the Grill Room Golf Show and Podcast, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, I heard some rumors that there's a big-time event happening at your club, the Normandy Golf Club, and it's coming up the day after Thanksgiving. Can you give me some details?
Well, Bob, we just had our Chili Open, and we had 44 teams, and I thought that would be a good November. But my boss is greedy, I guess. He said, you got to have a tournament the day after Thanksgiving. And I said, okay. And we're going to get those bigger cups. They're 8-inch cups. And I know a golf course that had them recently. It was unbelievable. We're going to have tacos from Jack in the Box that we're going to give out. And everybody's going to get some beer. It's tacos, golf, beer. It's the perfect trifecta the day after Thanksgiving. Heck, if you're listening anywhere in the world, come to St. Louis next Friday.
Meet me in St. Louis. Well, another first-time winner on the PGA Tour, Jay. They just seem to keep coming. This time it's 31-year-old Patton Kizzire. He's a Web.com Tour graduate from 2015, joined the tour in 2016. And this was his 63rd start on tour. He actually had a share of the lead for all four rounds. This guy looks like the real deal to me, Jay.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I think that, you know, it's another in the long line of younger players that we've talked about. Now, he's, you know, I say 31. That's still pretty young. And as we've talked about before, Bob, it takes some players a little time to mature and get, you know, get their bearings. But this is a big win for this kid, and I think it's going to probably, you know, continue on into 2018, the boost of confidence. People seem to really like him, a lot of the guys on tour, and, you know, he's another one of those Web.com Tour graduates in 2015.
And, you know, Jay, I think it's even more impressive the fact he had to go head-to-head with Ricky Fowler to win. They were paired together in that last round. This is the third time Patton's had the lead or co-lead after 54 holes on the PGA Tour, but it was his first win. Certainly a beautiful resort down there, unfortunately impacted by heavy, rainy, stormy weather for most of the week. So that third and final round, they played lift clean in place. And that's something, Jay, the tour really likes to avoid.
No, there's just some instances. And I know there's some, you know, they're the USGA blue bloods out there, if you will, that think that's just the worst thing in the history of the world that could ever happen, that you play it up. But there're just some cases, Bob, as you know, with all the golf you've seen covered and been a part of, that, you know, it's more important to get the tournament finished than play the ball down. And that's the case sometimes on the PGA Tour. They want to get 72 holes in.
Yeah, and they certainly did that. This is that was the sixth event in this seven-event fall series, which marks the start of the 2017-2018 season. And, of course, Patton will be getting an invite to the Masters. He'll also be playing in the Players' Championship. He's going to be playing in the PGA Championship.
Yep.
And he's fully exempt now the rest of this year and two more years. I mean, it's really huge when you do win on the PGA Tour, but it's so tough to do, but certainly a very impressive victory.
No, you talked about it last week, about these early fall events. And what a huge boost this is. I mean, for Patton Kizzire, let's say he'd have just gone out and, you know, had a couple of events where he played three or four events and he was maybe 100th on the FedEx Cup. That's almost like not even a start. Now he's got the head start on a lot of guys, and that's why I think it'll be great for his confidence. And, again, validation of the Web.com.
And this is what Patton had to say on Golf Channel after his round.
It was pretty nerve-wracking, but I felt good. I've been in tough spots before, and I drew from that, you know, from all my experiences, and you know, it means a lot. I'm pretty pretty excited right now, pretty emotional, and I was glad to get it done. Ricky made me work hard.
Glad to get it done. I guess you are, young man. I'll be seeing him in Maui in a few weeks. I know he'll be looking forward to that. Another player that really impressed me, Jay, this kid, Siwoom Kim, the youngest winner of the Players last season, but he seems to have a wealth of talent.
I think he may be a factor this week as well. He is still learning and still getting his bearings, as I said earlier, one of those kids really to watch for. What an impressive performance at the Players. People kind of lost sight of that because he didn't have the greatest of summers, but boy, he can flat play. Charles Howell III, his 85th, Bob, career top 10 finish. So much was expected of him. It was his 501st start, and he still plays good golf.
No, he really does. And a story I'd love to share about Charles Howell III, he's from Augusta, Georgia. His father's a rather successful surgeon. And early on, I think Charlie was about 10 years old, and he wanted to, his dad wanted him to go down and have David Ledbetter take a look at his son. He thought he was somewhat of a prodigy at 10 years old. So they called down to the Ledbetter Academy, and they were quickly told that David doesn't look at youngsters that come down, but one of David's assistants would gladly take a look. So Charlie's dad said, come on, we're going. They go down to Florida, and one of David Ledbetter's assistants shows up, tells the young Hal, loosen up a little bit. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. The teacher comes back. Charles Howell III hits one. The teacher says, could you do that again? Charles Howell III hits the second one. And the teacher says, wait right here. I'm going to go get David Ledbetter. And David Ledbetter knew right then and there he had something. You know, he hadn't really won as much, but you just told our listeners, 85th career top 10 in 500 starts. I mean, that's pretty consistent stuff as far as I'm concerned. And what about Martin Piller? I think his wife Gina plays on the LPGA tour. I wanted to ask you this, Jay. I don't know of any other husband-wife professional golf team besides the Pillars. Do you?
I mean, Bo Baugh married Laura Baugh, but I don't know how much Bo played the PGA tour while Laura was playing the LPGA tour. That's a good question. I knew Phil Ritson was a good player, and his wife Rena was a teacher down at Disney. But they certainly stand out, especially in this day and age.
It's incredible what they're doing, and we congratulate them. And Martin Piller can flat out use that putter. That's what keeps him going, that's for sure. One thing we wanted to talk about this week, it seems like more and more successful players are getting their start on the web.com tour. And I was one that really was in love with Q School. But the more I analyze what's transpiring, I see results from guys coming from the web.com tour. That seems like a better barometer for your ability to play on the PGA Tour. You agree, Jay?
Well, as often happens, great minds think alike. And you and I both felt like we were going to, you know, feel a loss in the game a little bit with the loss of Q School, because we'd been there, we'd seen it, we'd seen the emotion. But I got to tell you, this playing a year on the web.com tour, for some guys 2 or 3 years, like we mentioned earlier with our winner last week, Patton Kizrie, it's working. And these players are coming out prepared. We've seen that with a number of guys. And I think, you know, we still have a Q School in essence, to determine your status for the web.com tour. A lot of guys just finished up the second stage last week, which was really make or break, because everybody at the web.com Q School has status. So you don't have those disasters like we used to have. But I think the web.com tour, to me, it's without question, Bob, the third best tour. And that's not to take anything away from other tours. And on a lot of weeks, it's every bit as good as the European tour.
Yeah, very well said there. The talent out there happens to be incredible. I thought it'd be interesting. We just celebrated Veterans Day, one of the more important days on our calendar. Let's talk a little bit about players that played professional golf and served in the military. And certainly a favorite of yours, a favorite of mine, and a favorite of diehard golf fans everywhere. He's better known as the Hawk. He served in the United States Air Force during World War II, stationed in Fort Worth, Texas. Ben Hogan, he was a lieutenant, a utility pilot, and although his service was interrupted, his service did interrupt what many consider to be the prime of his playing career. He did win all of his nine majors, after the war. Pretty impressive.
Oh, real impressive. I think that the war had a huge impact, and you know, being involved in it had a huge impact on Ben Hogan, and you see that in terms of his playing career, as you mentioned, Bob, with all nine of his majors after the war. One guy that stands out to me, because he didn't pick up golf, really, until after he was in Vietnam, and that's Larry Nelson, drafted at age 18. He's one of those guys that picked up the game late in life. And the King, Arnold Palmer, was also in the Coast Guard after leaving Wake Forest in 1950.
Yeah, he served in there for 3 years, but he was able to work on his golf game. He kind of made friends with the powers to be. And when he got out, he actually got out in 1953, went on to win the 1954 U.S. Amateur. Then he turned pro. I think this one will surprise a lot of our listeners. J. Lee Trevino, the Merry Mex, he served in the Marines for 4 years as a machine gunner, promoted to Lance Corporal. And actually, Lee, and he's told this to me on many occasions, he credits that time in his life as the reason he became a great golfer. He participated in several armed forces events in Asia during his service, but one of the real good guys, but a former Marine.
Yeah, and that's where one of the tattoos comes from, his days in the Marines. Jimmy DeMeritt, just one of the great gentlemen of the game. He served. Horton Smith, very involved with the PGA of America, assigned to the athletic branch of the Air Force. And Jack Fleck, I didn't know this, was at the D-Day invasion in Normandy.
Well, you can imagine that 10-foot putts didn't seem to put the pressure on Jack Fleck. Anybody that was on that beach in Normandy felt all the pressure that they would ever feel. And Billy Hurley III right now is the only current player to have served in the military. Sam Snead, he had a little stint there in World War II. And Bobby Jones, after retiring from competitive golf, Jay, and his Grand Slam season of 1930, he served in World War II as an intelligence officer. It's funny because everybody talks about the talent of Bobby Jones, a very successful lawyer, and obviously very intelligent, served as an intelligence officer. All right, Jay, before we get into the PGA Tour Champions discussion, just want everyone to know that when January 1st comes around, the Grill Room will be comfortably situated in the Coppola Villas for the Century Tournament of Champions. Just imagine, beautiful sunshine, great villa, gorgeous ocean views. What could be better? So my point is, if you're planning a trip to Maui or want to, and I highly recommend it, please visit CoppolaVillas.com to choose the best option for your stay. Once again, that's CoppolaVillas.com.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
All right, Jay Bird, let's turn to the PGA Tour champions and the Charles Schwab Cup Championship. Kind of a surprise winner.
Well, yeah, in a way, congrats to Kevin Sutherland. He wins his first PGA. I want to say this very clearly to everybody. He wins his first PGA Tour Champions Tour event and also wins the year-end Schwab Cup. Bernhard Langer was second, and, of course, he played great all year and fails to win the Schwab Cup Championship. I'm not sure about the whole thing.
Well, I think a lot of listeners probably agree with you. How could somebody that won seven times on the tour, of course, I'm speaking about Bernhard Langer, you know, what they're trying to do is keep some excitement to the end. They came up with a system where if anybody in the top five going into that final event in Phoenix was to come out on top, they would win. Thank God, in a way, that Kevin Sutherland won, because it would have been worse had Lee Jansen finished first and Kevin Sutherland finished second. He still would have won the Charles Schwab Cup, and he would have been the winner of a Charles Schwab Cup without ever winning an event on the PGA Tour Champions. I mean, to me, that would have been awfully difficult to convey that message to the listeners that it was justifiable.
It's unfortunate, as you said, and you and I were there when they first came up with the FedEx Cup for the PGA Tour and talked to us about it. And you know, that has gone okay. This really is, to me, I'll be honest, a low point. To take away from what Langer did all year, and really your key superstar, other than John Daly, our vertical groove golf guy, to draw people. It's a mystery to me, Bob. I'll be honest. It's a mystery to me how the Champions Tour keeps going at the rate they're going. I just don't hear, you know, at Normandy, nobody walks in and goes, wow, did you see Sutherland win the Charles Schwab Cup Championship?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And the gyrations that they were trying to do on the telecast to try and explain what could happen. A dear friend of mine, he's been a friend for a long time, club professional by the name of Bob Joyce, was watching it on Sunday afternoon. He called me up and he said, you know, I can't even figure out who can win this, who can't win it. And you know, here's a club pro. And I, it just made me feel bad for the average person watching. It really was difficult. But congratulations to Kevin Sutherland, a good guy. I mean, it's no fault of his own. Those are the rules. They knew about it. Bernhard Langer was actually on the board that passed those rules. I think there's going to be some changes made. But you mentioned John Daly birdied four of his last six holes to shoot a 65. He finished fourth. And considering he couldn't play in the first two playoff events, bad knee, bad back, getting stem cells put in his knee, getting stem cells in his back. But he certainly parlayed that vertical groove driver around that golf course. Kenny Perry, who plays the vertical groove driver by choice, he finished 12th. So, you know, the question is, as we try and wrap up what transpired there, was it a fair fight?
No, it wasn't. And you said it earlier, they've got to do some sort of massaging. In a sense, Bob, they've almost made the Champions Tour so competitive that these guys are playing so hard that you're losing a little bit of the fun. And I mean, you're losing a little bit of the fact that, my goodness, Bernhard Langer at 60 years of age won seven times, and somehow he's quote unquote not the Schwab Cup champion. That's stuff they shouldn't have to deal with. I don't know that they need any cup. What's wrong with the guy that played the best all year being the player of the year? I think that leave the cup to the PGA Tour, try and have more fun on the PGA Tour champions while still having great play, and maybe something could get straightened out.
And we'll be on the Bernhard Langer watch now. 36 career wins, All-time winner in tour history, Hale Irwin, 45. That's only 9 away.
You're listening to The Groove Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and on your smart speaker, Alexa. Just ask Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show. When we return, we'll go groove up with Vertical Groove Golf and our feature interview all in one. We'll hear our conversation with Reuben Hannon, founder and chief operating officer of Vertical Groove Golf. I'm sure he'll have all kinds of exciting Vertical Groove Golf news for us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready.
Joining us now, Reuben Hannon, founder and chief operating officer for Vertical Groove Golf, and Jay's alongside. And Reuben, when we embarked on this journey almost a year ago, could you have in your wildest dreams even thought that you would have the winner of the Senior Open using a vertical groove driver? He doesn't, you know, get compensated when he put it into his bag. You got John Daly playing some of the greatest golf that he's ever played, number one on the tour in driving distance. Tell me, you didn't imagine any of this, did you, Reuben?
Well, we knew we had a great product. You know, I don't think anybody can imagine all the wins and accolades and, you know, things that we get from the winning on the tour, but we know that we've got a great product. And it's been awesome to watch this year, not only the wins, but just the accuracies and the increase in accuracy and distance and just the feedback that we continue to get at the highest level. So I don't know if I imagined it this way, but I'm glad it's happened.
Well, and Bob, I can attest. I mean, as our listeners know, I use the driver. It has re-energized me. I have a confidence when I go to the tee. Reuben said it. They knew they had a product that worked. It was just getting it in the right hands, getting people to try it. And whenever somebody tries the vertical groove driver, I'm going to tell you 9 times out of 10, they buy the thing. And if you look across the internet and type in vertical groove driver and you look at the reviews, I mean, it's not just what we're saying. It's not just what the tour pros are doing. Everybody's understanding this is a club in an industry that you know, you see a lot of clubs come out that don't work. This one works. The proof is in the pudding. And Reuben, I want to thank you because I'm enjoying the game more than I have in a long time, thanks to the driver.
Well, that's the feedback that we continue to get. Obviously, the look, the sound, the feel, but most importantly, it's just the game itself. And everyone's picking up yardage and everyone's playing a much tighter dispersion, so their miss hits are less exaggerated, and it's just awesome to watch. I mean, people are enjoying it more, Jay, and that's at the end of the day, that's what's most important to us, is just the enjoyment of the game. And fortunately, we've got a product that helps that, and you know, our three woods and hybrids are right around the corner, and they're going to have the same, you know, look, sound, and feel and performance that our driver has. So you know, we're excited about the future for vertical groove golf.
You know, Ruben, one of the things that makes the vertical groove driver simply outstanding, the industry over the last 20, 30 years has been inundated with this gimmick, that gimmick, try this, try that. The general public had almost reached the point of saturation of new ideas and shied away from them. But when they give the vertical groove driver a try, and I have friends that have bought it, and they echo the sentiments that Jay said, it has put fun back into the game.
The fact is, you know, everyone on the tour that is playing our driver has picked up over 20% accuracy, and that just trickles down to the amateur. I mean, you're just more confident playing the vertical groove driver than any other driver. It's a smaller head. You're getting a little bit more swing speed. You control it a little more than some of the bigger heads on the market today. And, you know, the, like you said, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, our stats are our stats. I mean, it's just fun to watch. I mean, most amateurs are heel and toe hitters. They don't necessarily hit it center every single time. And, you know, we're not losing distance by hitting it on the heel on the toe, and you're not hooking and slicing it out of bounds. You know, you're playing either from the fairway or from the fringe, and you know, it just makes the game more fun.
And Bob, Ruben nailed it with that term confident, because that's something that most golfers lack. But as I said earlier, when I go to the first tee, and maybe I've been in the shop or I haven't hit balls in 2 weeks or whatever, I put that club in my hand and I like the look, as Ruben said. And that's my question as it relates to the three wood and the fairway woods and the hybrid or wherever we're going next with this tremendous club. Will it keep that look? Because the look, and also one thing we don't mention that much, is I love that aiming line that you all have. I like that much more than just a little line. I think it sets up great for aiming, which is part of the battle.
Y'all, our three wood, five wood, and our hybrids all have the green line and arrow, you know, pointing to the, I think it's the eighth groove from toe to heel. So it does help you center it. There's no question about it. It does have the same look, the same feel, same sound. We've tested it both with amateurs and on tour, and it outperformed every other three wood that we had, you know, had it up against. And we're just, I mean, it's an exciting time. I mean, there's not a lot of bells and whistles. It is what it is. It's a smaller head. It's a nice crown. You know, the two-piece titanium. It's just a simple club.
Yeah,
and it works and performs.
Bob, I mentioned going to the reviews, and I read somebody saying, you know, when you look at the other drivers out there with the turns and the notches, the change in loft and all that, and I've never quite understood that as somebody who's played the game my whole life. I mean, here's a club, and you put the club in your hands and you play. I like the fact that there's not that turning or a wrench set that comes with it. I like the way it's packaged, where you can, with the long sock head cover, and you can see through at the driver if you haven't purchased it or you're just looking at it. And I think it's, you know, it's kind of old school, which turns new school because of all the stuff that we have happened in the last 10 or 15 years. And as Ruben said, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, it's there.
Well, it's funny too, Jay, because a lot of the new drivers that are coming out, they're starting to make it a little smaller again. So, I mean, like every industry, it's pretty cyclical. And I think that, you know, TaylorMade has put, I don't know, 35 plus drivers in the market over the course of 3 or 4 years and just flooded it.
Yep.
And everybody was trying to catch up and follow suit. And, you know, there's been a lot of new, I guess, new names to drivers without a lot of new technology, and everyone's just switching, you know, they're moving weights around and calling it something new. There hasn't really been a new technology in golf since probably the adjustability of the head. So, I mean, with vertical grooves, it's a face technology that no one else in the world has. It produces exactly what we say it does, a tighter dispersion. You're going to pick up distance. And our three woods, you know, that we've tested and five wood that we've tested follow suit. So we're going to have a nice little package. We're going to stay in our lane. We're not going to try to be everything to everybody like a lot of our competitors do. And at the end of the day, you know, we feel like we're continuing to bring high-performance product to the marketplace, and that's where we think our niche is going to end up being.
We're talking with Ruben Hannon, the founder and chief operating officer of Vertical Groove Golf. And Ruben, what part of the pure magic of the vertical groove driver, as I see it, because I've had it put into hands of two handicappers, and I've had it put into hands of 18 handicappers. And we know that the players at the highest level on the tour have embraced this club. I mean, it's fascinating that it works for the higher handicapper, the scratch player, and the best players in the world. I think that's part of the magic of the vertical groove driver.
It is, Bob. There's no question about it. I mean, you know, we didn't get in this business, like I said, I think prior, that, you know, to just target a professional. This is an amateur club that works as well for the professional as it does for the amateur. So it really comes down to a lot of the shafts that you pick and our Aldila MV2K stock shafts and aftermarket upgrade. And it really worked well with our head, but we offer pretty much every other upgrade from Graphite Design to Fujikura, Mitsubishi, you name it. And, you know, we're able to match really our competitors head to head, no matter where they take their drivers. So if it's XCO or the new, you know, Callaway Epic, that's the $700 Epic that they're bringing out for that senior flex type, you know, golfer. We have something very similar in a shaft that we can match that at a, you know, if you're going to save money and you're going to have probably a better performance driver with the vertical grooves than some of our competitors. So from the female golfer, senior golfer, and then, you know, the amateur that's playing either a regular stiff or an X shaft, you know, we hit top to bottom. We even have some long drive guys hitting it 420, 425. And, you know, in that world, it's about keeping it between the lines. And we're getting a lot of good feedback. So it's working for everybody.
And Bob, it is very simple to get what you want. They've made it very easy when you go to vertgolf.com. You get to pick your flex and your shaft, what you want. You get to pick grip size, to pick your loft. It's very simple, and it's all in front of you. Anybody can do this, and that's why one of the things I love is taking people through it and taking them to the website and say, hey, what do you want? It's a very easy way of doing it. It's all right there in front of you, and they make it easy way to do it, Bob.
Well, it's certainly exciting, and Ruben, you teased us a little bit with some new products coming out. Any concrete date on when they're going to be available?
Well, our 3-wood just became USGA approved, so we're in production now. So we're hoping for late December, mid to late December, if not, you know, the 1st of January for the 3-woods. 5-woods will follow suit, and then we're in the design phase right now of the hybrid. So, you know, by the first of the year, the 3-woods will be available for everyone. And, you know, it's just been a great year. Like I said, I think, you know, we started off, to your point earlier in the conversation, Bob, and, you know, we're number one in distance on the PGA Tour Champions. We're number two, really number one, tied for number one. We're, you know, tenths of a point in regards to accuracy. And, you know, Kenny Perry finished fourth overall, and JD finished 14th overall, and everyone's picked up over 20% accuracy. So, you know, we feel really good about the go forward, and we've got a lot of guys that we're going to work with in the off season. And I wouldn't be surprised if we've got 20 to 25 golfers next year playing the vertical groove driver.
Wow. That tells you right there, folks. These guys at the highest level, they can play whatever they want. I can't wait to get my 3-wood and go with some par fives, Bob.
Well, we're getting you back in the game, Jay, and we can do that for our listeners, too. Vertgolf.com. Customize your own club. Ruben, thank you so much for taking time out. I can hear the excitement in your voice. I get excited every time I refer somebody to this driver, because it doesn't take long, maybe one or two rounds, and they're calling me up and saying, Bob, what you said about that driver, it really works. I hit it further, I hit it straighter. Ruben, thank you for your time.
Bob and Jay, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready.
Once again, welcome back to the Grill Room. You know him as Jay Randolph Jr. I'm just Bob. And time now for news and notes from around the world. Let's begin, Jay, with the announcement by England's Tommy Fleetwood. He's going to join the PGA Tour in 2018. He's the one that made a big run at Erin Hills. Real talent and a real nice guy. Going to be good to have him on the PGA Tour.
And I think he'll do quite well. In fact, the Florida swing, watch out for Tommy Fleetwood. I think he's going to have some maybe bumps in the road off the bat, but come Florida, he'll be ready to go.
What about that guy, Brendan Grace? He's from South Africa. He finally won a tournament he's always dreamed of winning, Gary Player's Ned Bank Challenge, and he hit 18 of 18 fairways to do it. Gary Player right there on hand to congratulate him. It's big when you win the biggest tournament in your home country.
Christmas came a little early for Brendan Grace. There's no doubt about it. And to have Gary Player on hand to congratulate him makes it so much more, just special for Brendan Grace. Congratulations to him.
Brendan Grace, he's kind of on my short list as a player that I think definitely has at least one major in his future. Maybe that number will be even higher. Then the Olympic bronze medalist, a big story, Shenzhen Fang, won in China. She had back-to-back victories, and she takes over as the number one in the Rolex LPGA rankings. First Chinese player, male or female, to be ranked number one in the world. But I can assure our listeners, she will not be the last.
You're not kidding there. And Gene Sowers, congratulations to one of the good guys from Savannah, Georgia. PGA Tour announced the PGA Tour Champions member Gene Sowers, who overcame Steven Johnson syndrome to resume a full playing career and then won the 2016 U.S. Senior Open, has been named recipient of the PGA Tour Courage Award.
I join you, Jay Randolph, in giving a big Grill Room shout-out to Gene Sowers. Nick Price, here's one that has some head-scratching. He's been asked to join the USGA Executive Committee. I think it's the first time a player has been on that committee. What do you think it's about, Jay? Golf ball discussions?
No doubt. I think, and Nick said he's looking forward to talking to the technical people at the USGA. Our buddy Tim Rosefort put out a tweet a couple of weeks ago thinking that this could be about the scaling back of the golf ball. I don't know that it will necessarily happen, but I think the discussion and adding one of the great golfers of all time, Nick Price, into the mix is a good idea.
I think so. Certainly one of the friendliest, nicest, intelligent guys out there. And by the way, the PGA Tour, well, they're going to be ending their fall part of the schedule this week with the RSM Classic at the Sea Island Resort. Davis Love III is the host.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.